We do count it a privilege to be here and share with you in this important service in the life of your congregation. I wasn't sure what the scripture Brother Jason was going to use for this evening, but I was thinking a little bit this afternoon about it, and I thought of the scripture here in Acts chapter 6 about the results that happened as the church called the first ones there who served in what we believe was the beginning of the office of deacon, and how the community and the church was benefited from that choice. That's the scripture he did choose. So turn in your Bibles, if you will, to Acts chapter 6. Acts chapter 6, and we'll read the first 10 verses. And in those days, when the number of the disciples were multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians among the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, "It is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word." And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch, whom they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them. And the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great number of the priests were obedient to the faith. And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. And there arose certain of the synagogue, which is called the synagogue of the Libertines, and Cyrenians, and Alexandrians, and of them of Cilicia and of Asia, disputing with Stephen. And they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spake. Wow. We live in challenging times, and we face problems, but it's nothing new. The reason these first men were called is because there was a problem, and God used them to help deal with that problem. And may God have his way among us and use us as he would to deal with the problems we face. Let's kneel together as we pray.
I want to greet you, brothers and sisters, this evening in the precious name of Jesus. It is a joy to be able to share with you as a congregation at an exciting time like this. This kind of a service is a special thing in the life of a congregation. It's exciting, like I said, to be able to see God calling and using, and we trust through the service this evening, confirming people to position of responsibility, service, leadership in his body. A little bit over a year ago, you as a congregation, by the direction of God, called 4 men and their wives to serve in the office of deacon. And they've come now through a period of testing or observation, according to 1 Timothy 3, verse 10. And now this evening, we trust that these brethren will be confirmed to the office of deacon. Certainly, you as individuals observed these men and their families before they were called in this way, and I'm sure that factored into why you believe God was calling them to this responsibility in this office. And now, after further observation, I hope that you can, without reservation, give your blessing to their continued service. Paul wrote to Timothy that bishops and deacons should be blameless, but are deacons perfect? The answer is clearly no. But a good and faithful deacon will not knowingly do, not willingly, willfully is the word I want, will not willfully do things that are offensive or sinful. He may occasionally stumble, but he will be careful to hear when he offends others, and he will be intentional about righting wrongs that he may commit so that he may walk blameless. Though a deacon, or a minister for that matter, cannot be perfect, he will be able to say with the Apostle Paul, "Follow me as I also follow Christ." This evening, you're not calling deacons. You are planning instead to confirm them. And as I thought about what to share this evening, I thought it would be good to take a bit of a broader approach than to look in detail at the qualifications listed there in 1 Timothy 3. And my mind went to the scripture that was read this evening. Earlier this year, Brother Paul came and shared with us at Momertz in an election service, actually, and he used Acts chapter 6, and that really jumped out at me. It was so simple and yet so profound, and it really stuck with me since that time. And I like to use Acts chapter 6, especially those first six verses, as a basis for the message this evening. I want to share a couple of challenges with those who have been called to the office of deacon first, and then I'd like to share a few with you as a body as well. First, we want to look at some aspects or some challenges to the deacons, some parts of the deacon's calling. I'd like to call these three different things. Number one, be a problem solver. And number two, think outside the box. And finally, number three, be available. And we'll explain them. Don't be afraid of them. We'll try to explain that as we go. And then the second thing we want to look at is some encouragement to the body or the church as you respond to the deacons who have been called from among you. I want to encourage you to support them, to be patient with them, and finally to edify them. Let's look first of all here at be a problem solver. But before we do that, I want to just reread those first three verses there from Acts 6, verses 1 to 3. And in those days, when the number of the disciples were multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews, because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, "It is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business." As Dan already highlighted, the specific reason, the reason there that those first deacons were appointed was to address a practical problem in the church. The early church there had been providing food for widows in their midst, and the apostles apparently had been involved in that outreach, that ministry, and they could not keep up with the needs of the growing church. And as is often the case, when something isn't quite right, people start to complain. And that's what happened there. And so the 12 apostles, under the direction of the Holy Spirit, proposed to call seven men to oversee this important work. They recognized that the complaint was a legitimate one, and that more help was needed to meet the needs of the growing church. They saw the importance of meeting physical needs and solving practical problems without neglecting spiritual priorities. And so the church called its first deacons. The role or office of deacon was originally created to solve a practical problem. And so I want to make the case to you this evening that deacons should be problem solvers. As I considered, well, helps if I'm on the right page. For those of you being confirmed tonight, do you think of yourselves as problem solvers? Do you sometimes hear murmuring, as was the case here in Acts 6? Do you see physical needs within the church? I'm sure you do. Murmuring or complaining comes in different ways and in many for many different reasons. Sometimes it's justified, sometimes it's petty. Sometimes it distorts the situation. Sometimes it takes something that shouldn't be personal and makes it personal when it shouldn't be. But it may reveal a legitimate concern, even though it's packaged in, we could say, drama or noise. In our text here tonight, I do not believe those Grecian widows were intentionally being neglected. It wasn't something against them, but yet that's how it looked and felt, I believe, to the Grecians. That's how the complaint came. I believe that a deacon will be spiritually sensitive and discerning to see and hear the root issue and seek to minister to it. I realize there in Acts 6 it was the apostles who were hearing this complaint and responding to it, but yet the deacons who were called were to participate in the solution and to help to care for the church from that point forward. Just imagine what might have happened if the apostles had said something like, "Those Grecians, they're always complaining. We wish they would stop being so sensitive or just get over it." I can guarantee you the outcome of that situation would have been much different. Or maybe they would have turned it into like a personal thing and said, well, and responded in self-defense, maybe saying, well, we're doing the best we can. Like, it's just, we can't be everything for everybody. It's, what we're doing now is just going to have to be good enough. That's not how they responded, and that certainly would have not have brought a God-honoring outcome either. I believe deacons should graciously and creatively minister to the physical needs of the local church. They should be problem solvers, helping to extend the ministry of the local church. Let's flip this idea of problem solvers and think about kind of the opposite of that. What if instead of being problem solvers, deacons are troublemakers? There in verse 3, the apostles asked the church to identify men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom. They were to pick out men of integrity, men who could be trusted, men who were spiritually alert and discerning, men who were guided by wisdom from above. As I considered the list of qualifications found there in 1 Timothy 3, the one specific to deacons in verse 8 through 13, it really struck me how important these qualifications are and what it looks like if we do the opposite of what is listed there. If a deacon or his wife would do the opposite of what's listed in 1 Timothy 3, he or she instead of a problem solver, he or she becomes a troublemaker. Just think about the kind of problems that are created if a deacon or his wife do the opposite of what is mentioned in these verses. I'm just going to read them for you. Likewise, must the deacons be grave, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, not greedy of filthy lucre, holding the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience. And let these also first be proved, then let them use the office of a deacon, being found blameless. Even so must their wives be grave, not slanderers, sober, faithful in all things. Let the deacons be the husbands of one wife, ruling their children and their own houses well. For they that have used the office of a deacon well purchase to themselves a good degree and great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus. What kind of problems are created if a deacon doesn't take his responsibility seriously, talks differently depending who's around or who's not around, lacks self-control, or puts material gain ahead of building up his brothers and sisters in the church? What if his wife badmouths people in the church or is immature or unreliable? What happens if the deacon is not the leader of his home, or if his children are out of control? All these things bring reproach and discourage the body instead of building it up. They create problems instead of solving them. Tonight, I want to encourage you as deacons to be problem solvers. The second thing we want to talk about this evening, it's the second part, I believe, of the deacon's calling, is to think outside the box. And maybe that sounds a little bit strange, maybe it even sounds a little bit scary, but I'll explain, and I believe you'll understand what we're trying to get at here. I want to just read a number of different verses to give some context to this. We'll start with verse 4 and 5 here from Acts chapter 6, then we'll drop down a few and then skip over to chapter 8, also a few verses there. Acts 6, 4 and 5, but we will, this is the apostles talking, but we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch. Now let's drop down to verses 8 through 10, which were also read in opening. We just read about Stephen being called there, and now in verses 8 to 10, we see that he was doing more than he was doing more than his initial assignment. That sounds a bit better. And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. Then there arose certain of the synagogue, which is called the synagogue of the Libertines and Cyrenians and Alexandrians, and them of Cilicia and Asia, disputing with Stephen. And they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spake. And then I want to read from chapter 8, verses 4 through 8. And here we see another one of this group popping up outside of his initial assignment. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere, preaching the word. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies, and that were lame, were healed. And there was great joy in that city. What was the reason for calling the first deacons? As I said earlier, it was to solve a practical problem. But it was more than that. It was bigger than that. And Brother Paul brought this out when he was at Mummert's. The deacons were appointed that the apostles, or as we might say today, the ministers, could be devoted to their primary work, the ministry of the word. That it's so simple, it's so obvious, and yet it really hit me at the time as being quite profound. The ministry, the deacons, those two things are to work together in harmony and complement one another. There are certain responsibilities that we normally associate with the office of the deacon, and maybe you here don't fall into that trap, but I think any of us are liable to it. Things like going on the annual visit, or helping with Love Feast, or church cleaning, maybe. Maybe we can get in a place where we think those are the big responsibilities of a deacon, and they are important. But can we begin to think that if we've done those things, we have fulfilled our calling? That's not the case, and that's what I want to kind of caution us against this evening. Those first deacons were appointed so that the apostles could focus on prayer and preaching. They started out by caring for widows, but they expanded to other things, other types of ministry, to complement the work of the apostles. We see that as we read through Acts, and we saw in the example we just read. Stephen and Philip were both active witnesses and even used to perform miracles. Not only were these men faithful in their initial responsibilities, but they allowed themselves to be used in many other ways that increased the church's ministry and effectiveness. And as you serve in the deacon's office, be sure to faithfully do those things that you're asked to do, but don't let yourself fall into that trap where you view it as a comprehensive list. Rather, consider it a starting point and be on the lookout for other things, other opportunities that God will bring your way. Be open to do other things that build up the body and extend the ministry and witness of the local church. Tonight, when we talk about thinking outside the box, I'm not suggesting that we throw away the old things and do something new. That's not the point. Rather, I want to stress that we don't stop short of what God calls us to as deacons or in any other calling of God, that we seek to do all that He has for us. Be open to what God shows you and be careful to think outside the box. The third and final thought we want to share related to the office of a deacon is that of be available. And it ties in closely with what we just discussed. And I want to read Acts chapter 8, 26 and 27. Just the first part of 27. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went. We already looked at Philip a little bit ago, but here we see God gave him an assignment without explaining all the details. He told him, just go to this place. Philip didn't ask questions or stall for time. The verse there says he went. When God asked him to do something, Philip made himself available. Each of you are going to have different kind of responsibilities outside of church. You have family responsibilities. You have a family to take care of. You have work responsibilities so that you can provide for your family. And we need to be careful that we don't neglect our family and also be careful that we're not careless in our vocation. We have a responsibility to provide for our families and care for them. How we do our job is part of our Christian witness. So we need to take care about those things. But I want to encourage you this evening to make yourself available to build up God's church and advance His kingdom. Serving as deacons requires personal sacrifice of time and energy and resources. You're going to be asked to make sacrifices that other people probably will not make. Sometimes your job may seem thankless, but remember that you are not working for people, you're working for the Master. The reward for your labors is not here or now. As you serve in this office, I want to encourage you to be available. We looked at these three different aspects of a deacon's calling: be a problem solver, think outside the box, and finally, be available. And now I'd like to just share some encouragement with you as a body. Three different words we want to give here as we think about responding to and encouraging those who are called to serve in the office of deacon. And these three things aren't drawn from Acts chapter 6 here. It's not a comprehensive list either. Just three things to stimulate our thinking about how we can encourage those called to serve us. There are different roles in the body, and some have more responsibility than others. We all have a responsibility to care for one another. We are all human. We all have needs. Ministers and deacons are people too. They have feelings. They can become discouraged. It's also possible for them to stumble and fall. And so I want to give you these three things. First of all, support your deacons. They and their families carry an extra load. Take time to pray for them. Take time to encourage them. As you observe their service, maybe some sacrifice that they make for you and others in the body, acknowledge it and express your appreciation. They're certainly not serving for the praise of men, but your word of blessing or appreciation may be just the thing God wants to use to encourage them in their calling. It may brighten their day at a time when they're feeling really down or unappreciated. I want to suggest another way that you can support your deacons, and that is to cooperate with them. From time to time, you have the opportunity to lighten the deacon's load by cooperating with them. It may be some big job that needs to be done. It could be helping with something here at church, helping with preparation for Love Feast. It could be helping with a work project, just different ways you can lighten their load and encourage them. Another way, maybe that seems like a small thing, but it comes to mind, is you can make yourself available when they call you and ask if they can come to visit. You'd be amazed how busy some people are when it's time for the annual visit. That's a little way you can support them and lighten their load. If the deacons need to confront you or me about something, maybe help us through some relationship difficulty, we should do our very best to receive them graciously and cooperate with them. After all, they are trying to do God's work. Second part of the body's response we want to highlight this evening is to be patient with your deacons. As people, we can be pretty needy sometimes. Not all of us, but or maybe all of us fall into this at one time or another. And I just want to ask you to hear me patiently on this. I hope this is clear and comes out in the right way. But different times we can get into a place where we feel like, well, why hasn't this person reached out to me? Don't they understand where I am? Maybe you're going through a hard time or you're feeling a bit neglected. You may wonder why the deacons haven't checked in with you or ask if you need help. I just want to encourage you not to become angry or bitter. Just remember, your deacons are people too. They are not perfect. They're not all-knowing. They may not realize the extent of your need, or they may not realize where you are because they've never been through something quite like that. It would be far better for you to reach out to them and to just tell them, I need some help, than to bottle up your feelings inside. Please be patient with your deacons. The last thing we want to share this evening is to edify your deacons. And this kind of follows on what we just talked about. I ask you to be patient with them, and here we want to edify them. In the very beginning, I mentioned that deacons, none of us are perfect. Sooner or later, there's going to come some time when one of your deacons, someone here, does something that offends you or lets you down. And you might say something to yourself, I can't believe he did that. I can't believe she did that. Don't they know better? Deacons aren't perfect. Sometimes ministers aren't perfect. Sometimes we say or do things that cause offense. Sometimes we sin in our personal lives. I'm not suggesting that these things should be the norm, certainly not, but it can happen. It will happen. Sometimes we do things that are misunderstood or cause people to question our integrity. And it's at times like this, I want to encourage you to choose to edify your deacons and or their wives. Refuse to gossip about them or slander about them. There's something inside of us as people. When we're hurt, when we're disappointed, we have this compulsion to tell people instead of going to the person themselves. So many times we miss an opportunity to edify because we talk to other people instead. If you find yourself in one of these situations, I encourage you to prayerfully consider how you can approach this brother, this sister about it and edify him or her instead of talking it around. To sum up this section, I want to encourage you as a body to respond to your deacons in the following ways. Support them. Be patient with them. Edify them. Tonight, we considered three aspects of the deacon's calling, and we also looked here at three ways you can encourage and support your deacons, respond to them. Deacons are essential to the care and health of the local body. They have a very important work to do. And when they're faithfully fulfilling their office in the church and supporting the church in return, is supporting them in their work, it's a beautiful thing. Their service, their ministry will have a visible effect on the local body. And we see that clearly demonstrated in the lives of those early deacons and of the early church. There in chapter 6 it says, "And the saying pleased the whole multitude." I'll just drop down to verse 7. "And the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith." We see from that verse there, there's a couple verses there, and some of the things that followed, those first deacons had a profound effect on the early church. The church's needs were met, the church's ministry and witness increased, and the church grew. And the same thing can happen through the faithfulness of deacons that God calls today. God bless you and direct you as you continue through the rest of the service here this evening.